taking over.
Let's go.
It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money.
It's Pharrell. Coast to coast.
All right, Pharrell with you on Coast to Coast. The bad seed, a broken egg, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad editors, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands across from NYC, New York City. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show. Get up, should do. All my friends that come around, thoughts of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. We got it all today. Your boy Carver High's in here with us. NBA trade deadline and a lot happening. A lot of deals. We're going to get into all of them. The D'Lo deal went down. Russell goes to Mini to be miserable. Isn't everyone miserable there? I'm just kidding. Actually, I'm not. The guys that play there, is it not doom and gloom? And yeah, everybody except Prince. I love Prince. Who doesn't love Prince? Mafia and the crew running it back from the Batcave of the World, headquarters of Sports Grib in Midtown Manhattan. And also, other deals include Drummond going to the Cavs. What's it like getting traded from Detroit to Cleveland?
He wasn't too happy about it. He tweeted about 20 minutes ago that there's no loyalty in the NBA, that he had no idea that this was coming. So Andre Drummond not thrilled to be heading to Cleveland.
Shut up. He had no idea it was coming. They've been talking about trading him for a month and a half. Every day. Last night we were talking about him getting dealt. So also you know, it's funny. We were on this show, right? And I was talking to, I think it was Smitty. Am I wrong? I think it was Smitty. And then what we said was, or no, was it Joe Ranieri? I don't know. You tell me.
Last night was Joe.
Okay, right. So I can't keep track of all these shenanigans with the NBA. But here's the deal. I said on the air, did I not? Carver High said, we were talking about who do you deal on the Heat? And I was like, I'm going to trade Winslow. I'm going to trade Waiters, and Joe was like, and James Johnson, right? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I would trade him too because he's a hack. And sure enough, those are the players they dealt to get Iggy. Literally, the exact players that we told you on Coast to Coast were the ones that they moved. So I don't know what I know, but I must know something. And I'll tell you what, we're going to hit all these other games as well tonight in the NBA, College Rack. There's ranked games. There's slews of unranked games. Those are games that I like to bet heavily on. Every game involved in betting, I'm all over it, right? And then there's hockey tonight, including, I mean, there's so many games you could chip a tooth. I think there's 11 games tonight in the NHL. I got an idea. Let's do an update with your boy. Carver High.
Sports Grid. News update.
All right, Scotty, NBA trade deadline today. You'll be talking about it. D'Angelo Russell is off to Minnesota. Andrew Wiggins and picks are going to Golden State. Want the big pick, a 2021 protected first rounder. The Pistons send Andre Drummond to Cleveland. The Clippers get Marcus Morris from the Knicks in a three-team deal with the Wizards. That also gets the Clips' Isaiah Thomas, although reports are saying that they will not keep him. They'll let him go. Mo Harkless and a first to the Knicks. Jerome Robinson to the Wizards. Reports say that the Knicks will hire CAA player agent Leon Rose as the team's president of basketball operations after firing Steve Mills earlier this week. Rose has been an agent for decades around the league, currently reps Karl-Anthony Towns, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, among others. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred says today that the deal that for hedge fund manager Steve Cohen to buy the Mets is dead. Cohen was reportedly going to buy 80% of the team and take complete control in 5 years. Tonight's NBA, the Magic are at the Garden to face the Knicks. Magic -4 road favorites right now. Pelicans also a road favorite, -5 in Chicago against the Bulls. The Sixers and the Bucks, the big early game in Milwaukee. Bucks -9 right now. Spurs getting 3.5 in Portland tonight, and the late game in L.A. at Staples Center, Lakers -8 hosting the Rockets. NCAA hoops tonight, Wichita State -5 hosting Cincinnati in the American. Number 24, Colorado -16.5 hosting Cal. USC getting 10 at number 23, Arizona. Number 25, Houston minus 16.5 with Tulane coming to town. And late night, number 2, Gonzaga. 11 p.m. Eastern, they are minus 25 hosting Loyola Marymount. Huge NHL slate, 12 games tonight. Early on, the Ducks are in Montreal, Habs minus 160. Sabres and Wings in Buffalo, minus 210 for the Sabres. The Islanders host the Kings in Brooklyn, they are minus 195. Flyers hosting the Devils, Flyers minus 230. Good one in Tampa, Penguins visit the Lightning. Minus 165 for Tampa right now. Florida hosts Vegas, and Colorado minus 210 at Ottawa. I'm Carver High with a Sports Grid update. Want the edge? Get on the grid.
I mean, honest to God, there some of the horse bettors here.
I got excited there for a second. I thought that they were excited about tonight's NBA schedule. I guess it was just the horses going by.
I mean, honestly, there's more noises coming out of there than my bedroom. I mean, I thought I was a great lover came here. And then I got all these guys having these, I mean, just conniptions watching a horse race. I mean, there was literally one guy. Did you hear that guy?
Well, now that we've been here for like a week now or whatever it is, you're starting to get a feel for who the regular clientele is.
You mean the painful ones?
Right. Like, you can start to get a sense for who. I've seen some of the same faces every day over here while we're doing the show. So.
Right.
And it's the early crowd, too, like the 4 to 6 crowd. You can see who's here every day.
I mean, that guy was literally having an O. I mean, he was just your boy was going off over there. I got to ask you, Leon Rose is allegedly getting this gig as the president of the Knicks out of, right field. Forget about left field, right field, right? Yeah. So Brody Van Wagenen.
So much for you, Jerry, right?
So Van Wagenen is the agent that got the Mets job, right?
Right.
And then you got Pelinka, and it just goes on and on with these guys. Getting these jobs, these agents becoming powerful suits and running teams. And those aren't the only ones that it's happening to. And now, it really is amazing. And this guy steals the job, apparently, and he's going to take over. Now, let's face facts. The guy has, some serious juice when it comes to, players. You know what I mean? Like his representation, his clientele, and his rap sheet of players that have signed with him is unbelievable. Because the other guy, Bob Myers, he's another one that was an agent, right? And then took over the Warriors. But Rose has had JoJo Embiid, Chris Paul, Devin Booker. It goes on and on. Cat Towns, Melo, Kuzma, LeBron, AI. The answer, Iverson used to be with him. And, I'll say this much. He's got the juice to get players, maybe not those players, but he's got the connections and the juice to make, I think, shake and bake to get players to play for the Knicks. All we've heard about in New York for the last, let's say, decade or more is that, and frankly, it's picked up steam in the last 5 years, is that no one literally wants to play for the Knicks because of Dolan or what have you, and the front office, whether it's Perry, whether it's Mills, whether it was Phil, no one wanted to play for the Knicks. And I think that's just absolutely ridiculous. Here's the deal. If I'm an NBA player that's got skill and that gets burned and that, I want to make a lot of money and I want to be a rock star, I want to play in New York at the Garden, and I could care less if James Dolan is writing my checks. He is a billionaire, and the guy does not mess around. I don't care what anybody says. You can hate him till the cows come home, but I don't think Carver High, he's one to harass players. He's not a guy that is in there giving them the business like Jerry Jones with his press conferences after games outside the locker room. I actually believe that Dolan just writes checks and sits at the Garden and looks miserable, whatever. But, I mean, I think he runs his businesses. He makes tons of money. People don't like him. I've never believed in, frankly, anyone liking bosses, suits, who they work for.
Right.
If you go to any job anywhere, people complain about their boss. And if you're at a team, you complain about the GM, complain about the coach. The media complains about the coach. The media complains about the GM. The media complains about the president of operations of franchises, right? And then whoever's in office, if the president's in office, they blame him for everything. They hate his guts. Half of them like him, half of them don't, or around those numbers. And you can never please anyone. I don't think Dolan is, you know, they say Dolan's the problem, why people don't want to play here. And that's laughable to me. If you want to make tons of money, Carver High, you come to New York and you get that check. And if you're a star in New York, you'll be a god.
Yeah, look, I don't think the players see James Dolan at all. I don't think they ever do. And as far as, you know, him being this controlling guy, didn't he let Phil Jackson do whatever he wanted when he brought Phil here?
Yes.
Remember how glorious it was? Everybody threw the bouquets at him for bringing Phil here and letting Phil do whatever it is that he wanted. And how did that work out for them? Not too good. Now, I think immediately people are going to look at this, especially in the New York area, and start to say, look, the Mets brought in an agent, and that hasn't worked out great for him. And there's a big difference for me. I think Brody's more of like a used car salesman. And in baseball, you need to be good at scouting, things like that. This guy knows players. And in the NBA, you got to bring players in. And I think that this guy might be able to help with that.
I think most fans in New York think they're so smart about Van Wagenen or about Leon Rose. And what they are is they're stupid. Okay? Stupid. Stupid is, stupid does. You think you know everything because you live here and you're a sports fan. Have a sandwich. Calm down. It's Pharrell Coast to Coast.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
All right, Pharrell Coast to Coast with Carver High. Mafia and crew are back in New York. So the trade deadline went down, and so much has happened today that, you know, we mentioned at the beginning of the show that, you know, the big deals. D'Lo goes to Mini, and, you know, that was an Andrew Wiggins deal. There was a lot happening there. Let's face facts. This was on the table for a couple days. You know, after last night, there was all this activity going on for, you know, Iggy. And then I think it kind of shelved the D'Lo thing, right? Because there were they were involved in other stuff, and everybody thought that it was, you know, dead. All of a sudden, but, you know, when we left here last night, it was still going on. They were part of the, you know, 4-team, 12-player deal that saw Covington go to Houston. They got a first-round pick, and then Atlanta's Evan Turner and Jared Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley, and Hernan Gomez. So everyone thought that they were out of it, that it was, you know, thanks, they're not getting D'Lo. But that was still alive last night, and eventually it went down today, and the deal is huge. D'Lo to the Timberwolves for Andrew Wiggins. And the Warriors also get a 2021 protected first-round pick and a 21 second-round pick that'll send Jacob Evans and Amari Spellman to the Timberwolves as well. And one of the interesting things I saw earlier, now, I don't know, I'll have to find it somewhere else, but the thing about that deal, Carver High, that's interesting is that not just that deal, but all of the things that have been going on with the Warriors, they've actually loaded up, literally loaded up with 5 or 6 second-round picks in the draft. And so they have stockpiled the barn. And I think Myers and company and Steve Kerr and the front office of the Dubs are in a beautiful position to reload, if you will, the 12-gauge. I mean, they mean business with all those second-rounders. You can get great players, in my view, in the second round without a doubt. What do you think of the D'Lo deal? Because you like D'Lo, but you actually told me off the air that you think Wiggins is, how should I say it, a hack. Yeah. Meanwhile, I told you that he's a 20-point a guy in his career. And, you know, his numbers are really impressive. They're almost identical to Russell's. There's no denying it. Wiggins this year is having a career year, 22-5-3, and is and a steal per game in his career. This year, he's 22-5-3, career 19-7, so 20 points a game, 4.5 boards, 2.5 dimes, and almost a steal. He has career had a steal, and he's almost he's even gotten in on some blocks. The guy is almost at a block a game. So here's a guard that's actually doing everything. I think they're similar players, Carver High. Uh-huh. And so if they couldn't win with Wiggins and Cat, what makes you think they'll be even better with D'Lo? Because he's almost the same player.
Yeah, look, I'm not very high on Wiggins. I told you this before. I'm just...
Because they lose?
Well,
or what
well,
is
look,
it?
They lose. So stats are one thing. You're playing for a team that never wins. Okay, they never win. It's a little bit of an empty stat thing for me, him playing there. And now he's going to go somewhere. Here's the thing for me, Scotty. This guy doesn't play D, okay? He doesn't play. I know a lot of guys in the NBA don't, but this guy doesn't play any D. And he's not going there to be a scorer. Now, this year is whatever. He's going to go around there and fill it up because everybody else isn't playing. But what about next year? What next year when Clay's back and when Steph is back and they're at full strength? They're not looking for him to score. They're looking for him to be a complimentary piece who can play some D. And I don't think that he could do that. And he's making $30-something million for the next 3 years after this. That's a lot of money for a guy, and it's potential. Could he potentially be a really big piece for them the next few years? He could. But for me, Scotty, he's been running around in Minnesota, never winning, filling it up, not playing D. It's a question mark for me. I don't think it's a slam dunk for the Warriors. I just don't.
Well, he averages a steal a game, so he makes plays. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think as a whole, that team doesn't play D. And I don't think you can pin it on him. The numbers for D'Lo... regular season, same, almost identical. 23-3-6 dimes, so more dimes, and almost a steal. Career, he's averaged 17-3-5 and a steal. And so the numbers are eerily similar. Career, Wiggins scores more, 20 a game, to 17 a game for D'Lo. But this year, you know, the numbers are almost identical with the 24 and 23. So they both play the similar game. What do you got, Mafia?
See, for me, Scott, I think the reason that Wiggins has never reached his full potential is we obviously have seen in Minnesota, him and Kat, they're great players. They're not number ones. They're not leaders. They're not guys to take the team on their back and say, follow me, this is how we're going to get it done. We saw the problems they had with Jimmy Butler. Obviously, that style didn't work for them either, with him being the number one. I think him going to the Golden State is probably the best situation for him. You got a coach in Kerr who players love to play for, and he's like player's coach, and now he doesn't have to be the guy. He can sit back. Everyone's going to focus on Steph. They're going to focus on Clay when they're back, and this guy's just going to sit there, and you're going to forget about him. All of a sudden, he's going to put up 20 because you don't even know he's there.
I'll tell you this much. The other thing, you know, Dolan has made a statement today that he says he's not selling the Knicks at all and that he's continuing to actively look for a president despite reports. Carver High, are you believing Dolan or are you believing the reports that Leon Rose is getting that job? It sounds to me like Rose is getting that job and Dolan just doesn't want to admit it yet.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. You know, you look at the type of people around the league that were reporting this today, whether it be Woj at ESPN or others, you know, these guys know what's going on. And Dolan's probably – does Dolan ever do anything right? I mean, let's face it. All this – he's probably upset because all this is coming out today on the day of the NBA trade deadline. You know, there's reports you're hiring presidents. You got a guy – is he going to be the GM, Perry? What's he going to – he's making all your trades today. I think Dolan just looks stupid as always because it's just – you know, it is what it is. That's why he's upset and saying it's not happening right now because the reports are coming out on a day where you should have some stability in the franchise.
Well, I know what Mavi was saying about, you know, being the number one, that Wiggins is not the number one, and I don't think he ever was the number one. I think that Cat is the number one on that team, and everything goes through Towns, and Towns, frankly, Mafia, I mean, I don't deny the guy has game, but I think the malaise of playing in Minnesota on a loser has caught up with him for sure. I think it's made him, you know, play drab basketball like he just doesn't care one way or the other. He plays like a guy that knows he's getting a check, a big fat check, and it doesn't matter the wins and losses. Just give me my money. But I agree with you that Wiggins has never been the number one to carry a team, but they all knew that going in, that Cat was the man. So let's see if D'Lo makes things different where he becomes, with Cat, kind of a 1 and 1A. I think that's what they needed instead of what they had, which was a 1 and a 2 that were the difference makers on that team without a doubt. And now they need more of a sharing the crown of carrying that team on their back. I think with D'Lo and Cat, they might have a better shot at that. Now, the deal is this. The Clippers, Knicks, and Wizards have agreed to a three-team trade that'll send Marcus Morris Sr. and Isaiah Thomas, IT, to the Clippers, and Jerome Robinson will join the Wizards. The Knicks get Mo Harkless and a 2020 first-round draft pick. So I like what Perry did. I like Harkless's game. He gets massive burn on the Clippers. I think he'll fit nicely in New York. I don't know if their plan is to turn and burn him, you know, at the end of the season, whatever. But I actually think Harkless is a decent player. I don't really even care what anyone thinks of Harkless. I know he can ball. And on the Knicks, he's going to be a guy that's going to get the rock. On the Clippers, he was never the guy that got the rock or never the guy that could, you know, get the shot or get the minutes or get the looks that he wanted. He was there to play, be in the rotation, move, cut, slash. If wide open, shoot the three. If wide open, you know, drag the baseline and finish. But on this deal, this is about that 2020 first-round draft pick. So I'm going to give Perry credit that under the guise of all the stress lately of what's been going on this week with Steve Mills getting fired and everything else, and now at the deadline, Carver, he pulls off a number one first-round 2020 pick. I say let's grab a steak for dinner and a cold beer because I love that number one that they got out of it, and I'll take Harkless every day till Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you here. Despite all the things that we're talking about and firing Mills, hiring presidents, things like that, I think they made a great deal here today. You know, Marcus Morris isn't a part of what they're going to be in the future, and I know that we've looked at Nick future for a long time. They're getting assets that they can use to make this team better. Morris wasn't going to be a part of it. They had to get something for him. Sounds like the Lakers weren't going to budge on Kuzma. They weren't going to give him them, you know, and make that type of a deal. So they got the best that they could from the Clippers. That's a good deal for the Knicks.
$15 million, right, for Morris this year.
Yep.
I thought he played very well for the Knicks. I mean, you can't even deny it. He was like, you know, he and Randle were the only two offense that they got from anybody on that roster, literally. And Morris demanded the pill, and he put it in the hole, and he can shoot the three. He can bang. He's physical. He'll start a fight. He'll finish a fight. He's not taking any flack from anybody. He's a badass. I like his physicality, and I think that's why the Clippers went and got him. And the Clippers, you know, I'm telling you, Carver High, they have loaded up for one reason and one reason only. They've gotten nastier. They're already defensively very physical, and Beverly's a mosquito. The guy will drive you nuts, and he's physical, and he's ruthless. He'll play chippy, dirty basketball, whatever you want. He'll get in your head, and so will Marcus Morris. I think the, you know, Clippers at the end of the day got rid of a guy that can ball, but Harkless isn't any kind of a tough guy. Morris and Beverly are going to play nasty basketball, and I think unequivocally that the Clippers have already got a penthouse inside the Lakers' head. They beat them twice. They didn't play the game because Kobe died. They would have beat them that day, too, because they have been beating them. And I think they're getting even more physical and mentally tougher and more, you know, nasty and mean, adding Morris to that team with Beverly and company. Look, Harrell's already gangster city. I told you that guy's 6'8", plays 6'10", and he will throw you across a room. Pharrell and Carver High. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
All right, Pharrell, coast to coast, Carver Heise here, Mafia and all the boys running it down at the Renaissance on 35th and Midtown Manhattan, overlooking the world's most famous Madison Square Garden. And one other thing, like earlier, like late night, when we left here last night and went home and Carver and I hit the beer, you know, the Sixers agreed to deal Glenn Robinson and Alec Burks. From the Warriors, they got him. The Sixers got him from Golden State. So Golden State's been really busy. And that was when I was talking about they got all these. Philadelphia sent them 3 second-round draft picks to the Warriors as compensation. So as I mentioned earlier, they have stockpiled second-round picks, the Dubs. And they are, believe me, they're going to benefit from that in some capacity, whether it's getting players or getting players and moving them for better players. They have the chess pieces now in place. They are loaded up for the draft. And before they had nothing, and now they have, I mean, 5 or 6 deep in the second round. It's no joke. I mean, you understand how this works, right? There's 2 rounds. And the Warriors own the second round in the NBA this year, just so you know. Let's be clear. And secondly, Woj is the guy on that Leon Rose story. So I actually believe Rose... Carver High, I believe Woj over Dolan, to be honest with you. When he says he's still looking for a president, I think he found his president. Woj knows the deal's happening, and so I believe his report more than I believe the owner of the Knicks just playing games with the media.
Yeah, I mean, when Woj puts it out there, it's pretty much good as gold. So I'm with you on that. I just think that he just didn't want to get out today. So that's pretty much all that it comes down to. But I think that when it does happen, it's a good move because you need to bring players. And that's a big thing in the NBA. It's not as much with scouting and things like that. You need that stuff. It's different than baseball. You need to have guys who have connections and can get you players. This guy's been around the league for a long time. He might be able to do that finally for the Knicks.
So the Gallinari deal never happened, right? So
did not, no.
That completely stalled. They couldn't get the deal done. And they worked on that all last night and all day today. And apparently that did not happen. So, and... you know, everybody thought they were going to get, to snag Iggy and then get Danilo Gallinari. They would have been in, you know, there were people talking today about him being locked in, no questions asked, the number 2 in the East. Do you believe with just Iggy and what they've done in terms of the way they played this season and where they stand right now in terms of in the Eastern Conference, not just, you know, divisions, but conference-wise, right now, they're 4th in the Eastern Conference. Do you believe anyone that's saying they're number 2 because they got Iggy? And you remember, he was the MVP in the NBA Finals in 2015.
The year that LeBron should have won it, even though they lost.
Yeah, right. Let's not forget,
it's
2020. We're not in 2015 anymore.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure I'm ready to jump to them being the second best team in the conference. I think the Celtics are still better than the Heat, right? I mean, I think they are. And if the Sixers ever got their act together, you know, you would think that they might be as well. But I don't know if they could challenge with Milwaukee. They're definitely improved. They're in that top quadrant right now. They're in that top 4. But I still think that in a 7-game series right now, Boston would beat Miami in one.
And the Heat, they got rid of Dion Waiters. He was a nightmare. He was a migraine headache. He wasn't just a headache. He was a bright lights migraine. And they sat him, suspended him several times, and now they got rid of him. And then I thought James Johnson was trash anyway. Seriously, I didn't buy his game at all. But look, you can talk all you want. Like, weren't we watching last night the Raptors down 15, 19? They were down 19 points.
What a comeback by the Raptors last night. Huh?
Are they not the best, second-best team
you know
to
what?
The Bucks?
And I'm forgetting about them, too. You see, I always do that, Scotty, right? Don't I always forget about the Raptors? I've been
12
doing
straight
years.
They've won.
They've won 12 straight. I don't think the Heat are as good as the Raptors.
Wait, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Is the entire city of Milwaukee still trying to kill you?
we'll find out. I think you know that I'll be betting against them when the playoffs come. You know that. I'll be rooting hard for teams like Toronto and Boston.
So tell them what happened.
And all that. There's just people there that don't like me. There's there's some media personalities in the Milwaukee area that didn't like last year during the playoffs that I said that they weren't going to win. And guess what happened?
They didn't win.
They didn't win.
So they blamed you.
They blamed me. It was my fault. I don't believe in teams in the NBA until I actually see them do it. We had so many. The NBA is a league where, you know, you have blocks of dynasties. You know, the Warriors and the Cavs, they've been the team for so long before Toronto won last year. And, you know, before that, you had the Lakers and Celtics. You have all these blocks of dynasties. I just don't see the Bucks as a team that's ready to, you know, crack in and be a longstanding team in the NBA. I think that John isn't going to leave after next year. They don't like that up there in Milwaukee either. But I just hope the Bucks.
So you think Giannis is leaving the Bucks and he's going to bolt?
Oh, I would love to see it. I think he will because all these guys do it now. Who doesn't do it, Scotty? Who doesn't want to just play in, you know, L.A. or Houston or New York? You know, it's the same places.
No one wants to play in New York.
Well, listen, Durant and Kyrie obviously came here this summer. You want to consider Brooklyn, New York, you have to do
Mafia
that.
Mafia thinks he hates the spotlight.
He probably does hate the spotlight, but you know what? At the end of the day, you know what these guys want, Scotty? They want rings. They want rings on their fingers. Okay, they want that more.
Yeah, actually, I think they want money more than they want rings. I think it's all about money.
Legacy in the NBA is more about championships. It always has been. Your legacy in the NBA is tied to how many titles you win. It always has been.
That's fair enough.
It always will.
That's fair enough. If that's what you're after is legacy and like some kind of like my name will carry on forever. But most of the guys that I know that have played in the league and that ball and that go to the highest level, I think they're greedy, and I know they're greedy, and I know several of them, and they all tell me the same thing. They want the money. That's what they want. They want a lot of money. They want to make so much money that your head would spin so that they never have to worry about money or their family or their kids or their grandma or their mama for the rest of their life, ever. They want more money than you can spit at. I mean, they want to be the Federal Reserve. They want money more than rings and more than legacy. That's all there is to it. There isn't a guy in the league that doesn't want the fattest contract possible and the most money possible. And they know they have a very short window, a short hoagie to get that cashito. All right, tell me about this whole thing that you were mentioning to me about Montreal today. First of all, Manfred says the Mets sale is off. And Cohen is out.
You know who killed that deal, right? Your boy Jeff Wilpon. He took care of that one for them.
So at the last minute, what happened? He said that they wanted to change the parameters of the deal based on who still has, like, power and say for the next 5 years?
Yeah, I was in the New York Post today. It was said that Jeff wanted a little bit too much more control than Steve Cohen was willing to give. So Jeff Wilpon still wanted to have a lot of his hands on the organization. That was not going to happen. Of course, Rob Manfred said today that that's not the case at all. It had nothing to do with the Wilpons or anything like that. But I think we know really what the story
that's
is.
That's a lie.
Jeff wanted to be too involved, as we thought would happen when this story came out 2 months ago. We thought this thing wouldn't last 5 years, and it only lasted 2 months. So he's not going to get the team. It is what it is, and the Mets are back to square one.
Now, let me ask you this. Like, who in their right mind, seriously, buys a professional sports franchise, and then he buys it from the family, the Wilpons, and then do you remember when they bought him? And I said to you, I was on the radio, and I said, 5 years.
Yeah.
They gotta wait 5 years for control. Remember? Do you remember when I said that to you? And I remember we were doing the show in New York, and I said, wait a minute, 5 years? Who waits 5 years to run anything when they buy it? Here's the deal. Like, did Tepper wait 5 years to run the Panthers when he bought him?
No.
No one waits five years.
It's very rare. The only example I can think of was the Islander sale a couple years ago. The only one.
But, let's face facts. No one cares about that sale.
Well, exactly. Nobody cares about it. It's the only one I can think of.
Okay, fair enough. But in this instance, in a major league, in the biggest market in the world, that deal matters. And to wait 5 years, the audacity of someone asking to wait 5 years to run the franchise. And then I said to you on the radio, I said, I don't believe this will work. Waiting 5 years for power? This guy Wilpon must be sick in the head to think that anyone buys a franchise for that kind of money from you, billions of dollars, and you don't let him run the team? Like, what kind of nincompoop does that? Like, seriously, you have to be a nincompoop. You're an idiot.
No, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And listen, Jeff Wilpon, he doesn't want to give it up. He wanted to still have some power during this transition. Cohen doesn't want him having that power. I don't blame Cohen in that department. So it's going to be off to somebody else.
What was it, $2.6 billion?
Yes, for 80% of the.
Okay, when you buy something for that kind of money, $2.6 billion and 80% control, let me tell you something how that pizza pie works. I eat 11 pieces, and you eat one piece, and the piece you eat, I'm going to take the pepperoni off of it, too. So you only eat speckled cheese. You don't get a full slice with any meat on it, Carver High.
Yeah, look, it's when you're spending that kind of money to buy a team, you get to do whatever you want. And if he doesn't want little Jeff there being in charge of the team, then that's what he gets. And now he's walking away. I don't blame the guy.
I mean, that is unbelievable. So anyway, there are tons of hockey games tonight, 11. We got to get into that. And I just wanted to tell you, in the second hour, we got our boy KW, Kevin Walsh from Sports Grid, and Rick Kamla of NBA Radio. I love Kamla. He's nuts. Pharrell, coast to coast like you read about. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it with Carver High.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? Sports Grid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, Sports Grid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Coast to coast, Carver High's with me. So there's a lot of NHL games tonight, Carver High. I know you get excited when there's a tremendous amount of hockey action, as I do, on the ice in the NHL. And, you had mentioned earlier in the update the maybe the best game. There's several of them, but the best game has to be that Pittsburgh-Tampa Bay game. They're both so incredibly talented, winning, racking up points, doing well, consistent. Tampa favored at home on home ice, basically minus -165, -170. Penguins at +150 in a lot of houses. Are you willing to roll the dice with the Penguins on the road tonight? I went Tampa, but I think the Penguins can actually give the Lightning a game. They give everyone a game.
Yeah, I think that the 165 is a little high here for this game. Both teams are playing well. I know Tampa's been red hot, but the Penguins are no slouch either. They don't lose either. They pretty much win every night also. So when you're looking at the Penguins right now, getting them at +140 right now, 150 depending on where you are, I don't have a problem, Scotty, taking a shot with the Penguins tonight if you're looking a little pregame with them.
I mean, you know that they have lost every player on that team.
I know.
And Gensel, their top player, they lost him. But since they got Crosby back in that lineup, they have been on fire.
No, Crosby's been excellent. I'm actually, Scotty, going to take a shot with a crazy prop tonight in this game.
What is that?
I'm looking for Malkin and Kucherov to both score a goal. You get it at FanDuel at +640. I think there'll be some goals in this game tonight. Malkin and Kucherov both to score. plus 640. A little fun one tonight, Scotty, for the Lightning. And the
yeah, Kucherov with 24 goals on his season. Malk and Geno Style has 16, 38 assists. Kucherov, 63 points to 54 for Geno. Great players, both of them. I'm surprised, to be honest with you. You know, when Crosby was out and Gensel, and they've had everybody out of that lineup, Hornquist a bunch of times, your boy Malkin has stepped up and produced at a high level. You know, I've always told you, I've seen him, and I love Malkin, his game and everything else and all the Stanley Cups. But I've told you before, I've seen him play live a million times where he just takes the night off and he gets that paycheck game in where he's like, I'm getting paid either way, and I'm just not going to skate. I don't care what you think of me.
Yeah, he did that the entire first-round series against the Islanders last April, if you remember. Malkin and Letang kind of took that series off for the most part. He does play better when other guys are out of the lineup. I don't know what it is. Crosby goes out for a couple months. Malkin was pretty good. Even though he comes back, Gensel goes down. You know, Malkin's been pretty consistent this year. He's had a good year. And I hope he fills the net tonight for that prop, that's for sure.
All right, New Jersey and Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo. You know, South Philly will be rocking, get some pasta in, go watch the Flyers beat up on the Devils. You know, the other night, the Devils lost that game that they had they had their hands around the Canadians' throats, and they somehow lost that
5-4. 3-0 lead they had in that game. They had a 3-0 lead in the game. The Devils stink, Scotty. You know that. They're an awful team. Flyers are playing well. -230 is tough for me. If you want to bet the Flyers straight out, maybe you get involved in that in-game, you take a look, maybe the Devils can get up 1-0, and you can jump in at that point. I kind of like the under in that game, too, even though the Devils have been giving up a lot of goals lately. It's at 6 right now, you can get under 6 for plus 100. I kind of like the under in that game, and obviously the Flyers, but I'd wait in-game to see if you can get a little bit of a better
price. Are you surprised that they have, 29 wins and that they've produced? You and I have talked about this a million times about that, like, you know, these... in the Eastern Conference, that Metro division of what everyone's been able to do, like that they're hanging with the Islanders and the Jackets and the Penguins is really amazing.
The Metro division in itself has been such a gauntlet this year. Six of like the top 12 or 13 point teams in the whole NHL come from the Metro. Flyers have been good. We said it last summer, you know, they hired Alain Vigneault. If there's one thing Vigneault always does, when he first gets to a club, they usually, you know, they overachieve. They play a lot better than you think they're going to. The Flyers have done that this year.
All right, so what is it, the top three in each division?
Yes, if you start looking at playoff matchups. And
well, so right now, like if you're looking at it, it's the, you know, Bruins, Caps, Penguins, Lightning, Jackets, Islanders, Flyers, Panthers, right?
Hold on a second. No, say that again to me.
Well, in terms of, I'm looking at the conference standings.
Well, the conference standings would be that, yes. Not the playoff match, but the conference standings, that would be what it is.
But as far as just flush division standings, right now in the Atlantic, you're looking at Boston, Tampa, Florida.
Those three would
one,
be
one, two,
right
three.
Now, yes.
And then Caps, Penguins, Jackets, one, two, three. Are you surprised that the Jackets have passed the Islanders?
I am. The Jackets have been red hot since early December. They're on something like an 18-3-2 kind of run since early to mid-December. The Jackets have been really strong. Are they going to keep it up? That's the thing for me. You know, nobody seems to be going away in this division. The Jackets play a little bit of a different style. They like to kind of grind you a little bit, too. The deadline's going to be very important, Sky. Not a lot of big names available at the deadline, but if any of these Metro teams in that Flyer, Islander, Blue Jacket, Carolina mix can make a move that can kind of push them ahead, because I think the Caps and the Pens, they're going to be there, and those other four teams are going to be fighting for two or three other spots.
That Buffalo line is heavy tonight, -215 at home, the Sabres and Red Wings. I mean... The Red Wings have been so anemic. It's just like you can't bet on them, can you? You got to go Buffalo, even though I don't trust either one of them.
Well, Buffalo stinks, too. This game's kind of like an over game for me. I like the 5.5. I think that when both teams are like this, sometimes you get a nice 4-3 game in that area. So I like the over in the Buffalo-Detroit game tonight.
The Ducks and Canadiens are playing at the Bell Center in Montreal. Hey, la boue, parlez-vous français, madame, oui, oui. But I went Canadiens, but I'm scared to death of this one. They're a lot alike. I don't like either team. I don't trust either team. I went Habs at home. It's -150, but I had to rank it 11th on PharrellOnTheBench.com, my pick site, because I just don't like it. They're my worst play of the night.
Yeah, I'm not too, you know, solid on the Habs. I think that they'll win the game. Here's what I like in this game, Scotty. I've been kind of riding the Anaheim Ducks first period overs. They've been hitting at a pretty good clip. You can get over 1.5, minus 110 for that first period in Montreal tonight. That's where I'm looking in this game. Get a couple goals early between the Ducks and the Habs.
Are you surprised that they literally, that the team's won that many Stanley Cups, that that's all that matters in Montreal is the Canadiens? The press there is vicious toward the hockey team, whether they're good or bad, and that they have no one on the team. They literally have no players. They have not. I mean, it's a minor league team.
Aside from Carey Price. Carey Price.
And what is he, like 75 years old now? I mean, honest to God.
He's been around a while.
They have no talent. They wonder why they suck. I mean, honest to God. Like, get a hold of yourself.
It's been a while. They've been trying to acquire a big-time player to, you know, a big-time offensive.
Well, they had one. They let him go, and Patrick Reddy.
Yeah, well, you know what? That didn't work out, so you got to try something else.
Whatever.
Well,
this plan has worked terrifically
for
him.
They tried to get Aho in the summer. Remember, they signed Aho to an offer sheet from Carolina, and you knew that wasn't going to work. Carolina,
they'd be better off calling Rick Kehoe. He's like 105. The Vegas Golden Knights and Panthers tonight in Sun. Rise. When is Bob going to start playing better in goal? But they do have 29 wins. Can Vegas get it done with Max Pacioretty on the road tonight in South Florida?
You know, Scotty, I kind of like the Panthers at home with plus money tonight.
I like Vegas.
They're coming off a trip earlier in the week where they had a couple of good wins. They had a win in Toronto, and then they were in Columbus. They come home here. Vegas has been on this road trip for a while. They just lost in Tampa the other night. I kind of like taking a shot with the Panthers at plus money, plus 105 right now at FanDuel.
All right, the Islanders are minus 190, and you told me, is this one at – it is at the no sleep till they're playing in Barclays.
They're in Brooklyn tonight, yes. Islanders 13 points in 13 straight in Brooklyn, Scotty. I told you they've been a little bit better. They don't play as much in Brooklyn now, but they've got points in 13 straight there. They got 11-0-2 somewhere in that area. So the Islanders in Brooklyn tonight. I like the under in the first period. Kings unders in the first period have been very good recently, too, just like the other night in Washington. Maybe you get a scenario like that cap game for the Kings where maybe the Kings can grab an early lead. You can grab the Islanders on the money line in game. Look for something like that tonight.
I like the Islanders there as my number three play. And when is that new arena at Belmont going to be ready? Next year?
No, the year after.
Are they going to do this again at the Barclays next year?
No. Well, they haven't officially announced anything yet. There's some rumors that they're going to play the entire season at Nassau next year, but nothing official yet, as they say.
Geez, let's hope so, because that's where they that's where they should be playing.
Yes.
I've never bought into the Barclays thing. Avs, Senators in Ottawa, and I'm taking the Avs again on the road. The other night, they scored, what, 9 goals or something, 10 goals, 12 goals, 15 goals. They look great on the road, and I think the Senators stink.
Yo, Senators are awful. I'm going to keep riding the Avalanche here. In fact, Scotty, I'm going -1.5 with them tonight. Plus 120. That's a big line, the minus 210. I think they should blow out the Senators like they blew out the Sabres the other night. Let's play them at -1.5.
Yeah, I'm going them, but I had them ranked 10th. St. Louis is my top play again. They're playing great hockey, 32 wins. They're a heavy minus 200 against the Jets. Jets are a tough team, but I say they lose in the Arch City.
Yeah, look, St. Louis Blues at home is always going to be a good play for me. They are excellent at home, and I stick with the Blues just like you tonight.
All right, Canucks, Wild, and Mini. I'm going to go again with the team on the road here and roll the dice with Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm with you. Vancouver, you can get them plus 105 right now to win this game. They've been playing really good. This is the tail end of an East road trip for them. They got to stop in Minnesota on their way home. The Wild aren't that good, Scotty. They played a little bit better, but I think Vancouver's the better team out of these two. I'll take some plus money with them tonight in Minnesota.
I got 45 seconds. Preds, Flames at Ferrell, Alberta, and I'm going Calgary at home.
I like Calgary as well.
Canes, Coyotes in the desert.
I like the Canes tonight, actually, on the road. I know they're the favorite. I kind of like the over in that game, too, with 5.5.
I'm going Target and Zona by the time I get to racially profiled Arizona. And Sharks, Oilers, and Edmonton. Are the Oilers a playoff team? I like them tonight at home.
I like them -1.5 at plus 145 tonight.
All right, Rick Camlo will join us. KW, Kevin Walsh, styling in the second hour of Coast to Coast. We're going to hit all the NBA games tonight. And there is a gargantuan amount of college rack. And we're going to go to the 10, just like he does with his boy Smitty on that Around the Rim show they do on Saturdays on Sports Grid. It's Coast to Coast. Are you with us or not? I mean, come on in, baby. Let's make some money, shall we?